Amid funding cuts, U.S. academic medical centers may become increasingly reliant on non-traditional sources of revenue. One of these sources could be returns from venture capital investments. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Dishant Uppal, an instructor in medicine at Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. Uppal has co-authored a perspective article about venture capital investing by academic medical centers. Dr. Uppal, what types of challenges have academic medical centers been facing when it comes to funding from traditional sources, such as patient care, research, education?
Happy to elaborate on some of the financial challenges that academic medical centers have been facing, especially over the last several years. First of all, many of the nonprofit academic medical centers in particular suffered during the COVID-19 pandemic when a number of U.S. health systems faced substantial financial losses. A huge portion of those financial losses were driven by stability in patient care revenue, while large losses were felt because of stock market investments that actually accounted for 85% of financial losses in that time period. And that is because a number of U.S. health systems used the financial gains from investment portfolios to try and serve as a buffer or mitigant on small year-over-year changes in patient care revenue that can sometimes otherwise lead to overall financial losses if you look at the financial statements. At the same time, there are a number of inflationary pressures that health systems continue to face, some in part due to growing changes in labor-associated cost, so increases in the cost of staff and personnel required to deliver traditional patient care. And also, more recently, there are challenges that health systems are facing with respect to unwinding of Medicaid coverage, changes in insurance coverage in general that we will probably continue to feel over the coming years, as well as new changes in federal research funding. All of this motivates academic medical centers to try and diversify revenue streams in ways that are different than what's been historically the case.
So, in your perspective article, you describe investments by venture capital funds that are affiliated with major academic medical centers. In general, how do venture capital funds operate, and what strategies do they use to make money?
So, venture capital funds are funds that are traditionally created in order to exchange money for equity in startup companies throughout biotech or health tech companies. They differ from private equity firms, which tend to take a huge ownership-focused equity stake in established organizations, whereas venture capital funds tend to take smaller equity shares in startup companies in order to try and de-risk some of the early-stage innovation and try and generate an ROI or a return on investment on a small number of companies amidst a portfolio. So it is a fairly risky approach to investment. Usually, the initial seed money for a venture capital fund comes from a set of external investors or limited partners. In the case of academic medical centers, that can sometimes be from the individual healthcare organizations that comprise the healthcare system or traditional types of limited partners like pension funds, charitable foundations, and pharmaceutical companies.
What's known about venture capital investing by academic medical centers? How common are these deals, and what are the institutions investing in?
Until we started looking into this question, I would say a year ago, there was very little known about the extent to which academic medical centers were engaging in these types of investments. There was actually a research letter published in JAMA Internal Medicine earlier this month, where the authors actually tried to estimate what the total amount of investment looks like from academic medical centers towards venture capital associated purposes. And they stratified based on private versus public academic medical centers. Amongst private academic medical centers, at least 90% of them had made one investment over the last 10 years. That figure dropped to about 78% of public academic medical centers. So now we know that it's actually a fairly common activity amongst academic medical centers to make a venture capital investment. What seems to differ is how much venture capital funding is allocated in a fund. In some cases, some of the academic medical centers are really only making a small number of venture capital investments. This might be an extension of traditional technology transfer offices where the founders are actually employees or affiliated physicians or other healthcare professionals who start a company maybe out of their research lab or other types of academic work. In other cases, the academic medical centers are creating large venture capital funds, making many deals every year, and investing in companies where the founders of the company have no clear affiliation to the academic medical center. In that same research letter, at least 70 to 80% of all venture capital deals over the last 10 years were actually for companies where the founders had no affiliation to the academic medical center. So it seems that increasingly academic medical centers are interested not just in trying to commercialize innovation that may be born out of the academic medical center itself, but also try and join the other types of venture capital investors who are investing in the large slew of biotech and health tech companies.
How are these investments structured within the academic medical center? Where does the funding come from, and then where do the proceeds go?
The funding structure seems to differ a little bit from organization to organization. So, in some cases, the limited partners or the sources of initial capital for the venture capital fund is entirely internal. So, a health system that has a number of hospitals or other affiliated entities might use the proceeds or profits from those entities to create a separate pool designated as a venture capital fund and make investments out of that venture capital fund in startup companies, and then decide later on what to do with the proceeds from those investments into startup companies if there are any proceeds. In other cases, the initial funding is also sourced from external places. Sometimes from partners of the academic medical center, so pharmaceutical companies or other types of pharma foundations that may have existing relationships with the healthcare enterprise. In other cases, the funding is completely external to the academic medical center until the time that the fund is created. So the funding could come from, for example, pension funds or charitable foundations that perhaps otherwise would not have any relationship with the academic medical center. How the AMCs tend to structure the venture capital fund within the AMC differs. In some cases, these funds might be portions of the overall investment portfolio of the AMC. In other cases, they may exist as standalone entities. There has been some coverage of AMCs actually creating a collaborative model where the fund exists as a third party entirely, and the AMC hires staff from outside organizations to help manage the fund, and then there's a shared agreement on what to do with the proceeds from those investments. The proceeds themselves can go to a number of places. Either they can be returned to the AMC itself, or the fund can try and redistribute a portion of the proceeds to the limited partners that initially provided capital. The details on where exactly the proceeds flow up to may not be known for a number of years, since some of these investments can take 5 to 10 years before a profit is ever made on the investment.
Speaking of profits, do we have any sense of what the results of these kinds of investments are? Are they actually helping the academic medical centers?
It's not yet clear whether the academic medical centers are truly making any kind of profit or rate of return on these venture capital investments. Some of that is because it looks like the venture capital activity by AMCs has really only taken off in the last 5 or 6 years, and many of the companies in which the AMC venture capital funds currently hold equity stakes may not actually be able to generate a return on investment for another few more years. And in many cases, for venture capital funds, the actual rate of return of each fund's portfolio can often remain confidential and only disclosed to limited partners. So it's possible that we may never get full insight into exactly how much profit or potentially loss, given that the investments are risky, academic medical centers will ultimately achieve with the strategy. One thing that has been interesting is that some of the venture capital funds created by AMCs have actually started to fold and be shuttered over the last few years amidst the broader challenges with the funding climate. That would suggest that there has been a degree of failure within the venture capital funds created by AMCs, since that would suggest that the types of investments that were made were insufficient to create the return to allow the fund to persist, or the cost of managing the fund either grew too great to justify the amount of proceeds, or it no longer felt to be strategically aligned with the AMC. So, more to come on whether it's possible to know the degree to which the profit is publicly reported. For those AMCs that are nonprofit and file annual forms with the IRS to maintain tax-exempt status, it's possible that we see some disclosures there in the years to come.
And then finally, what are the potential implications of these investments for physicians and policymakers? What should they be thinking?
I think there are two primary concerns that physicians and policymakers should be concerned about. The first is that venture capital investment is often conflated with private equity investment, which has garnered a fair degree of policy attention over the last few years because of the amount of research being generated showing associations with private equity investments in healthcare organizations and potential for adverse patient outcomes. Or in the case of venture capital investments, where there is less known about the potential fall-on effects, physicians and policymakers should start to take a closer look at the kinds of venture capital investments that are being made by their own home AMC. And in the case of policymakers, think about the ways in which existing regulatory scrutiny that applies to private equity types of investments may not yet apply to venture capital investment and consider the opportunity for expansion of regulatory oversight. The second challenge is that it seems as though venture capital investment by AMCs might be a reflection of ongoing financial strain. There are challenges because of the federal funding landscape, increases in administrative and staffing costs, challenges with reimbursement from certain payers compared to commercial payers, for example, and existing competition with peer institutions. All of this might motivate certain health systems struggling financially to try and use a degree of financial reserves as a means of buffering against financial pressure. And for those health systems that are looking to improve hospital credit ratings, this might also be an opportunity to gain access to municipal bond markets. All of this should motivate policymakers to try and address the root causes of the types of financial pressures that might motivate these kinds of activities and decide whether or not there continues to be alignment between the utility of venture capital investment and the core activities of nonprofit AMCs, especially given the relationship between tax-exempt status under the IRS and the need to provide charity care to maintain that tax-exempt status. The types of investments made by venture capital funds are inherently profit-oriented, so policymakers will need to consider whether there need to be adjustments to tax policy in order to address the new growth in venture capital investments by AMCs.
Thank you, Dr. Uppal.